7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and this time we are breaking down the offseason moves, the draft recap, some fantasy talk of the Arizona Cardinals. But before we get to that, Tim, Tom, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. A little concerned. It sounds like your wife-to-be and your dogs are running a half marathon upstairs right now.
How are your preschoolers? Are they doing well?
I haven't checked on them today. But no, I feel like they're probably all right.
All right.
I don't know what that has to do with your.
I was just asking a question.
Wife to be.
Just
and
asking a question.
Your dogs running a half marathon upstairs.
They're just doing their thing up there.
Having fun. Peanut butter is involved. It's a good old time.
Wow. Peanut butter's involved.
Wow.
Interesting.
That type of party. Okay.
All right. Let's get weird. Getting to the Arizona Cardinals. We're talking about some of the off-season moves that they had. And, of course, let's first start off with head coach Bruce Arians retires.
He gone.
And new head coach Steve Wilks coming in. And, Tom, where is he coming from?
He was the Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator last year. So they're going to be switching up defensive schemes as well. Be running more base 4-3 sets. A lot more zone coverage in this scheme as well. So it's a big-time transformation for this defense and team in general.
It is a big jump. You don't see a lot of teams this day and age going back to like a traditional 4-3. You don't see it very often. Interested to see how it kind of translates.
New offensive coordinator is going to be Mike McCoy. And very interesting there. And quarterback Carson Palmer retires as well.
A lot of big-time changes in this organization. But I like where they're going.
As Eminem would say, we're going through changes. And, yes, the Arizona Cardinals are. Interested to see who, is it Sam Bradford there
yep.
now? Interested to see how many days he can stay healthy before the Chosen gets his opportunity.
Or the former star Bears quarterback, Mike Glennon.
I love that you're already
very
true. That he's third string.
That is.
He goes there thinking he's at number one, maybe a backup at worst, and what happens? The team again. Top 10 quarterback.
Hey, man, he's still getting paid.
He's got one of the best jobs in America.
Honestly, it is what it is.
Zero pressure. Gets to hang out in Arizona. Bunch of fine ladies. Go hang out at ASU.
Have
a good time.
See them all with his long-ass neck looking above the crowd.
Some of the moves that Arizona has made this offseason, releasing running back Adrian Peterson and releasing safety Tyrann Mathieu Honeybadger. Very, very interesting.
AP was a no-brainer right
yeah.
there. You know, he was just signed traded for in the middle of the season last year because David Johnson got hurt. And Tyrann Mathieu, not the greatest fit in this new scheme. They don't do a lot of freelance work. He's not the traditional safety, not the traditional nickel corner as well. He kind of did his own thing in that old scheme, and it worked for him. But him in this new scheme, not the greatest fit. Plus, he had a big-time cap hit. It made sense to get rid of him.
Adrian Peterson may as well. His new nickname, instead of the freak, which I believe it was, is now melanoma. Because he's a blatant, obvious skin cancer. You can see it right on the surface. He is just a terrible, terrible asset. He's a cancer. He's a cancer to the team. What happened? He was on the Saints. He started bitching and complaining. Just ruining the whole vibe. The second he was gone, a switch flipped. Everything was fine. The team started doing what they were supposed to be doing. He goes to Arizona because David Johnson's gone. I'm here now. No one wants him. No one wants him. Listen, there comes a point. You had 5 years in the league, I'll say, where you competed at a level top 5 to top 10 ever competed at in NFL history. But then you started taking out a switch and whipping your kid in the nuts. You started blowing out your knee, injury after injury. This isn't a joke, Tom. This is a fact. He did those things. He admitted to it. He said it's because of the way that he was raised. That's not a joke. He legitimately did those things. He did. He should be done. No one should sign him. No one should bring him on. You still have the DeMarco Murrays of the world. You still have a lot of other running backs out there who deserve a little bit more play. Adrian Peterson, retire, live off of those 5 years of success, and be done.
The Arizona Cardinals also signed quarterbacks Sam Bradford, and then went out and signed quarterback Mike Glennon.
Both are kind of stop gaps for this football team. They really needed to address quarterback in the draft. Bradford, man, this guy, he's a good football player. He set the record for highest completion percentage in the NFL's history, even though a lot of those were a little dink and dunk, very short intermediate passes. But this guy can play. He's a former Heisman Trophy winner, former number one overall pick, but he just has really bad knees. Can't stay healthy. Gets banged up all the time. We saw last year, opening week against the New Orleans Saints, what he was able to do to them, what that Minnesota Vikings offense looked like with him at the helm. But I give it 3 to 4 games tops, and then someone else is going to be coming in to play the quarterback spot for him.
When you listen to Sam Bradford talk, it's very similar as the way that you hear, like, a Vietnam vet talk about, like, all their injuries. Like, oh, I'm so sore, oh, this, that. Like, he sounds like an 85-year-old man with all the stuff that he's been through, all the injuries that he's had. I truly do hope that he could go through 2018, give Josh Rosen a great learning experience, ease him into the league, and I hope he plays 16 games for the Cardinals. I really, really do.
Some of the other moves that they did, they signed wide receiver Bryce Butler to a 2-year contract. Is Bryce Butler coming in to be one of the focal points of this offense?
Ugh. They might need him to be one of the focal points. He's been kind of an underrated wide receiver in his NFL career. Underrated at Dallas for sure. He outplayed Williams last year for the Cowboys. Big bodied guy, has good athleticism, very fast. I really like him in this system for the Cardinals. He's a good outside wide receiver for him.
He's a typical Cardinals wide receiver. Who's your boy who you've hated the last?
Ja Bro.
He gone.
He's a John Brown style wide receiver. I don't think he has a long term stability here in Arizona.
Couple other guys that they signed: guard Justin Pugh to a 5-year contract, and tackle Andre Smith to a 2-year contract.
Pugh's a big time upgrade for them, but his main thing has been staying healthy. He's a former first round pick as well. He got paid big time, elite level guard pay to come here and help that offensive line out. This was one of the worst offensive lines in football last season. A lot of that was due to injuries. But if you're asking Justin Pugh to come in and stay healthy, it's really something he hasn't been able to do. We'll see if that happens. But if he can stay healthy, that's going to do wonders for David Johnson and whoever is playing quarterback here.
I love both of those signings. Hey, you know what? We're bringing in two somewhat high-profile free agent quarterbacks along with one of the top rookie prospects. Secure your money, right? What's the most one of the most expensive positions in football? The quarterback position. Secure what will win you football games. So I love both those moves by the Cardinals.
One other signing that I have here is Marcus Williams, 1-year deal. Honestly, other than that, guys, that's really about their offseason.
They just traded with Cleveland for a corner.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name.
Jamar Taylor. And yeah, now that I just mentioned Marcus Williams, 2 days ago he was actually released. So, my bad.
Taylor's going to have a chance to play for this football team. They really haven't had anyone that's been consistent to pair up with Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson has been one of the most elite cornerbacks in the NFL since he stepped in day one. So, hopefully they can help out and take some pressure off him.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a very bleh off season for them in the free agency market.
I feel like they're setting themselves up to going into next year, have quite a bit of money, have probably some early draft picks. I mean, they're in a rebuild here. When you lose your head coach and your starting quarterback, it's kind of, you know, makes sense that they're in a bit of a rebuild.
If they really suck this year, and we'll get to that later on, Does Wilkes keep his job for a year or two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's hard for a coach to get fired after 1 year.
Yeah.
Unless you're an unstable franchise like the Cleveland Browns. The Cardinals aren't there yet. It seems like the ownership likes Steve Keim as the general manager. He kept
they just extended him, too.
Yeah. So he kept his position, and I highly doubt he's going to be firing a coach after year one.
No.
We've seen plenty of coaches struggle year one, and even some year two. Look at Hugh Jackson, 1-31 in his first 2 years, and he kept his job.
So. I think Hugh Jackson is who I want to be when I grow up. Literally, you can just be the biggest piece of garbage at your job.
He still hasn't jumped into Lake Erie yet.
Man, so you can lie, too.
Yeah.
You can just be a liar. You can be terrible at your job. Still keep on keeping on.
Moving on to the 2018 NFL Draft. We had their first pick in the very first round, and they traded up to pick number 10, which was the Oakland Raiders. And they took their quarterback of the future, Josh Rosen, quarterback out of UCLA. And actually, one of us actually had this exact trade happen in our 2018 NFL mock draft.
Who was it, Josh?
I don't know. Who was it? Oh, yeah, that's right. That was me. So just making sure I throw that out there again.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, it was.
Before the 2018 draft, there was a lot of uncertainty with this franchise. Now, we brought up Bruce Arians, former head coach, retiring. Brought up Carson Palmer, former franchise quarterback, retiring. New head coach Steve Wilkes bringing that new defense as well. Changes on almost every level of this football team. And the Cardinals got lucky that the Oakland Raiders pretty much gave them the 10th overall selection in this draft. They didn't have to give up anything. I think it was a fifth-round pick, or it was a couple late picks overall. But they got tremendous value moving up 5 spots, especially when they traded up for a quarterback. Josh Rosen is probably the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft class.
Who's been saying that from the beginning?
Me and Josh.
Ha! Okay.
He was my number 2 quarterback in this class. But he's got textbook fundamentals. He's got a big arm, accurate thrower, can make every throw that you ask him to do. I'm excited that he landed here. I think it's a good landing spot. He's not going to have to start right away. I think he could if they needed him to, but there's a lot of talent on the offensive side of the football. He might need to help that offensive line out a little bit and shore up protection. He kind of got his butt whooped a little bit at UCLA, struggled with a couple concussions, couple other injuries. But this is a slam dunk pick for the Arizona Cardinals. They finally have a direction. They finally have that franchise quarterback. And I applaud them for this pick.
Josh, I want you to notate on whatever you notate things on at this part of the episode, because right now, I want to just throw it out there. Week 3, second quarter, Sam Bradford is going to go down, and Josh Rosen is going to come in, and he is going to take that starting position for the next 10 to 15 years. Josh Rosen, like I have been saying, is the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft. Not my number one, but the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft. Josh Rosen has the ability. This is probably my favorite pick in the whole entire draft. Moving up, not giving up anything to move up as much as they did. Josh Rosen, who has a quote-unquote bad temperament, a Jay Cutler-esque temperament, kind of, but then also has that cocky side, that dickhead side. He's going to go to Arizona, and no one's going to care. No one's going to pay any attention. You might have a soundbite here or there that gets picked up nationally, but if he ends up in a New York, if he ends up in one of those big markets, every single day, what did you mean by the way you said this? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? It doesn't matter in Arizona. He's going to be able to go, develop, and become the quarterback that he's destined to be. Josh Rosen is a future Pro Bowler and a potential future Hall of Fame quarterback. That's how confident I am with him. That's how much I love this pick. He gets to grow with Larry Fitzgerald for at least this year, and next year he has one of the best running backs in the NFL with him for the next few years. The Arizona Cardinals are trying to build things around him. This guy, I'm telling you, is going to have a massive, massive future.
Yeah, some people knocked him on having a hot tub in his dorm room,
being
with all the ladies, being rich. wearing an F. Trump hat at a golf course for the president and all that good stuff.
I think it was actually Donald Trump's golf course.
Yeah. It was, yes. But you know what? I remember when I saw that and I saw him do all these interviews and I text you, Tom, I said, dude, this kid is something else and I like him. Something like that, it makes me like a quarterback even more.
My only concern, and I compared him in the pre-draft process to like an Eli Manning. Because you kind of look at him at times and you're just like, does this guy even care? Does he even care at all? Like, you can tell.
I just think what it is, and sorry for cutting you off, but what it is, I think he knows he's good at football. Mm-hmm. I think he knows he's really good at football. I think he knows that he probably is the best quarterback in this draft class, and he was going to slide, and his cockiness took over. You know what else that happened to is Aaron Rodgers when he came out for the draft as well. He was a cocky guy as well.
Out of college, and Aaron Rodgers was not as good as Josh Rosen.
No, I agree.
Straight out of college.
I agree. But you know what? Rosen has the same opportunity to be what Aaron Rodgers is today.
He does.
Later down the road.
He does. The difference was Aaron Rodgers wanted it badly. Aaron Rodgers got to sit and have it stew and have that desire and that fire burn. Josh Rosen is more like Eli Manning where he doesn't necessarily need football. He doesn't necessarily, like, you can tell, like, I bet if you ask Josh Rosen, like, hey, list your 3 favorite things to do in your whole entire life, if you could do
girls
for the rest of your life. And so be it. All these people are like, oh, he had a hot tub. This SOB went to UCLA. He was the star quarterback. For 2 years, he got to live like a god. So what? You don't hear him, you know, going out and causing a bunch of trouble all the time. Big deal. He acted like a god in college because as the starting quarterback, he was a god in college. So be it. I'm not going to knock the guy for that. I'm not going to knock any college football player for going through and partying. Now, if you're going out and getting DUIs and getting busted with drugs at parties and stuff like that, different story. Clean track record. Had no talent around him for the most part at UCLA. And did what he does best. I agree with what he is saying. The teams that took the Baker Mayfields of the world, potentially the teams that took the Sam Darnolds of the world, definitely the teams that took the Josh Allens of the world, are going to regret it. This guy is the real deal.
And as Josh Rosen said, there were 9 mistakes made ahead of him. So we'll see if that holds true.
9 teams didn't need quarterback, so that's a stupid thing to say. That's just him.
We'll see if that holds true, regardless.
Yep.
Moving on, the second pick for the Arizona Cardinals, second round, 15th overall in that round, wide receiver out of Texas A&M, Christian Kirk.
The PR team for the Cardinals has had an interesting month. You know, Josh just brought up what Josh Rosen said on draft day about the 9 mistakes being made. They kind of cleared that up. Then you had Christian Kirk getting a little rowdy at a golfing event. Then he had a homeless man snitch on him and got him busted. So it's been rough for their first 2 overall picks. But on the field, though, Christian Kirk, he's a dangerous weapon. He adds versatility in the return game, one of those that creates a lot in the yards after catch department. He's one of those yak monsters, in my opinion. His best spot in the NFL is probably going to be the slot. Being a slot receiver, he could do a lot of damage there. Reminds me a lot of a Jarvis Landry type coming out of college. But that could be kind of troublesome. Look, where's Larry Fitzgerald been doing a lot of his damage as of late? He's been primarily a slot receiver for the last 2 or 3 years, and I'm kind of worried that this team might put Christian Kirk on the outside, kind of like what former Eagles head coaches put Nelson Aguilar, and then they put him in the slot where he should thrive at, and look what he did. Had his best season as a pro. Something like that could happen to Christian Kirk, and that could hurt him.
What do you do if you're the Cardinals, then?
I want to give some advice here. Arizona coaching staff, you make 1 phone call. You bring in Kurt Warner, and you have Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald talk to Josh Rosen.
Oh, speaking of Kurt Warner, you guys saw that piece that came out, right? And he said that he talked to a team about possibly playing this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What fucking team was going to sign him? Was it Arizona?
The Bills.
Was it the Bills? I don't think they ever said a team.
No, they didn't.
I just, when you said that, I'm like, oh my God, is he going to say he's going to throw him the ball?
You bring in Kurt Warner as an advisor, and you say, Kurt and Larry, mentor these guys. Mentor them. Bring them around. Even a Mike Glennon will benefit. Even a Sam Bradford will benefit. But mostly it's for a young Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen hasn't had to go through the adversity of a Kurt Warner. But he has to respect what Kurt Warner has accomplished in this league. Christian Kirk already has Larry Fitzgerald in front. Have those guys bring them along. Give them a lesson here this year where you expect nothing from them. You don't expect anything. There's no expectations for Josh Rosen and a Christian Kirk in 2018.
I don't know. You draft Christian Kirk early, you know, midway through the second round. You're drafting a wide receiver to come in and play. Yep. From day one, and he's a slot wide receiver. We all know that. He can play on the outside, but he's still undersized at 5'10", 200 pounds. But it's hard to ask a Larry Fitzgerald, hey, I know you caught 109, 110 balls last year. We kind of want to knock that down to 80 balls that you're going to catch and kind of give it to Christian Kirk from there on out. You're not going to move Larry Fitzgerald to the outside. At least I'm not, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals. I think what we're going to see is the Arizona Cardinals, like you said, Tom, force Christian Kirk on the outside a little bit, probably more than he should. But I also think that we're going to see Larry Fitzgerald go from 110 balls caught to maybe 75 at the most.
Yep.
That's why you just tell Larry, he's not here to replace you right now. He's here for
the
future.
He's a second-round pick.
I understand it. He's gonna get his play.
He should be the now.
He's gonna be on the field. He's gonna be put in situations that aren't ideal for him. But this isn't a pick for 2018. With the move that they have made, this isn't a pick for right now. This is a pick for, hey, we have one, maybe 2 years left of one of the best of a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Let's bring in a wide receiver who is the same position who can learn from him. That's what it is. Take it for what it's worth. Come on, you're smart enough to know that the Arizona Cardinals, yes, they're going to play him. They have to play him. I agree with that. But it's for the future. It's not for right now.
Moving on, third round, 33 overall in that round. Center out of Michigan, Mason Cole.
Mason Cole played all over the Michigan Wolverines offensive line, played a little tackle. But, yeah, he's going to be playing guard or center for the Arizona Cardinals. I think this is a reach. He was 168 on my big board. They got him at 97 right away. I think he's going to be a depth piece for this offensive line. Cardinals definitely need that. That's what they struggled with last year, having depth behind the starters. He had 51 straight starts at Michigan. Personally don't see a lot of upside in Cole's game. He's been pretty consistent, pretty reliable, healthy, but physically I'm just not overly impressed with his game.
Yeah, I get it, trying to make sure that they have some talent in front of a young quarterback in the future, but there's some other spots here that they could have addressed. So it's hey, let's take him and hopefully he can be a piece that can kind of just swing in immediately.
Fourth round draft pick, Chase Edmonds, running back out of Fordham. And the thing is really interesting here. Chase Edmonds was getting some talk pre-draft. And honestly, he's an undersized guy, 5'9", 205 pounds. And I just don't see where we're going to see him contribute unless if it's on special teams or on a third down roll. Now, the thing is, you look at some of the running backs, obviously, for the Arizona Cardinals, they have David Johnson, their three-down workhorse, coming back from injury. So maybe they don't really need him there. Who was the other running back last year? Obviously, AP is now gone, but there was
Kerwin?
Kerwin Williams. He was still there, so Kerwin was there. But again, he's one of those undersized guys as well. I believe he was 5'9", 5'8". So kind of interesting to see them go this route. Shocked it was Chase Edmonds, but they got to get some depth at running back, so it's very interesting.
Another reach. for the Cardinals right here. 182 on my big board. Took him almost two rounds later than they should have in my eyes. But he was brought in to help keep David Johnson fresh. That's something they need to do. Last year he did get hurt early on, but the year before that, they pretty much rode him into the ground, which is understandable. He was having a very special year. He's a dual threat running back, and Edmonds is similar. You know, he's good at receiving. He had over 5,800 yards rushing in college, which is extremely impressive. He's got the ability to line up in the slot as well. He's just another versatile running back that could take 5 to 8 touches away or 10 to 20 snaps away from David Johnson to keep him fresh throughout the year.
Don't love it, don't hate it. I'm kind of neutral on it. Do I think it's the change of pace back that they wanted? No, but it's someone that could potentially help keep David Johnson healthy. So it is what it is.
I'm looking at some of the other picks that were drafted kind of after that pick, and I'm just trying to figure out who I would have went with other than him, and you got the Shaquem Griffin, Maurice Hurst was there, a couple other guys, and I don't know, it's very interesting to see where that team went with the running back spot. I don't think there was any running backs. I think Wilkins was the next running back drafted, and that was, what, the Colts, right?
Yep.
So.
It shows the first four picks, though, all on the offense side of the football. Yeah. They are concerned, and they plan on giving Josh Rosen, their future, as much help as possible. You have to respect that. I'm pretty sure they're realistic. They don't think they're contending for a Super Bowl this year. And this draft is all about the future, and that's what this pick's about as well.
Yep. Early in the sixth round, we have a corner out of Penn State, Chris Campbell.
Good value pick, 150 overall for me. And Peterson, he's been one of the best corners in the league. They need to get someone. It might not be Campbell, but there's a chance it is that could line up on the opposite side of the field and be a quality cornerback, a quality starter for them. Very little support from the draft community early on. Really didn't play that much besides this year, his senior year. But he's gotten better year in and year out, continues to improve, and that's what the Cardinals have to hope that he continues to do. He's got the size and length and speed to play outside, and hopefully he can continue to grow as a player and just get better.
I like this pick a lot for them, in all honesty. I think that this was like you said, Tom, a good value pick for them. It's someone who could potentially come up and play some valuable snaps for them. So it's a great pick for them, in my opinion.
Last pick of their draft, seventh round pick, Corey Cunningham out of Cincinnati, offensive tackle.
Big time project, super raw as a player, just a depth piece. And they're going to put him as possibly a swing tackle maybe on the practice squad and hope that he can develop to replace one of their starting tackles right now in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's a big-time hopeful pick, right? I mean, they're like you said, Tom, they're hoping he can come in and be a rotation guy throughout the next few years.
Seventh round, that's really all you could pray for. Most of these guys don't even make the roster, so he's got to find a guy with traits that you like, traits that you can't teach, and hopefully that you can coach him up a little bit.
All right, let's talk about rate their offseason moves. They had the, of course, free agency, which I think we can all agree was a little lackluster. And then their draft, obviously, their first four picks all on the offensive side of the ball. But the two major ones, obviously, Josh Rosen and Christian Kirk.
Not a big-time fan of this draft, but I'm still going to give them an A. I think they found their franchise quarterback, and that could have been the only pick in this draft. And if Rosen pans out and it is as good as I think he's going to be, especially in this system with Mike McCoy, offensive coordinator, who's going to challenge him a little bit and lead him and show him the right way to play quarterback. McCoy's been on offenses with Peyton Manning, with Phillip Rivers. He could handle guys with the type of attitude and the big head that Rosen kind of has. I think it's almost a perfect fit for him. I'm going to give him an A.
I'm going to give him a B. I like the first two picks. I like what they did. I love the fact that they got Rosen. I love that they gave up nothing to get him. I think all of that is genius, in all honesty. It's just a matter of what they're able to do from here. You know, we won't know how great of a pick Rosen was for probably 2 years.
Yeah, I thought their, again, free agency was very lackluster, but getting your quarterback of the future, getting your wide receiver, hopefully your new Larry Fitzgerald of the future, because that's what they're hoping for in Christian Kirk, some big shoes to fill. I'm going to give it a B+. I'm not going to give it an A because I thought that the offseason for free agency was just not as...
I think it was by design, though.
Not as big of a splash as I thought it would be. When you bring in Bryce Butler...
But what's on the other side of it? What if they do a Chicago Bears of 3 years ago, right? Paying guys more money than they deserve just to kind of get some quote-unquote big names out there, and then they're in a financial... They're financially handcuffed for a couple of years. They set themselves up to not be, right? They got a franchise quarterback. They got a great young talent at wide receiver. And they're able to just kind of go into next offseason, if things develop the way they want, to be able to spend money. So you have a franchise quarterback. You have a franchise running back coming off of injury. You still have a Hall of Fame wide receiver, a new young talent at wide receiver. They're on the right path, in my opinion. I was more proud of them for not just throwing money at something, right? I mean, listen, Matthew, he was going to go eventually, right? Let him go now. What's the difference? You're not planning to win in 2018 regardless.
Moving on to the fantasy side of things. Start off with quarterback, obviously. We have Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon, Josh Rosen. You think Rosen's going to come into the third week?
Week three, second quarter. Calling it right now. Telling you.
Are you drafting Sam Bradford or Josh Rosen at all in fantasy and hoping for the best?
No. In a redraft style draft, I would not be touching any of the quarterbacks in this system right now. If you're in a dynasty league, yeah, get Rosen when you can. But right now, Bradford's not safe. He's shown that he can be a startable quarterback, but he's probably not going to play the full season. Rosen, we've seen fantastic quarterback prospects struggle their first year. I don't think, even if he starts week two or whatever Tim just said.
Week three, second quarter.
I don't think he's going to light the world on fire, especially with this suspect offensive line and average wide receiver core. Do not touch their quarterbacks.
Agree.
All right. Moving on to the running backs, and of course, starts off with Mr. David Johnson. Coming back from injury, and a bunch of other guys right below him, but I think David Johnson's the one we need to talk about.
David Johnson, he's in that top tier of running backs. There's a big four. He's going anywhere from pick two to pick five in most leagues, even PPR formats. Sometimes Antonio Brown will slip into the top four. Johnson, he's safe. You know, that it was kind of a freak injury last year, hurting his wrist. They could have brought him back later in the season. Really wasn't worth it for that football team. But we saw 2 years ago what this guy can do. He's a dominant receiving running back, running between the tackles, and you could build an offense around him. He's a special player, and he's going to be an early draft pick.
It's an injury without being an injury, right? It's not knees. It's not anything of importance. You're not nervous about, you know, what he's going to bring. If anything, it's more of he saved his knees for an extra year, right? That's kind of the way that I look at it. So definitely still you have Le'Veon Bell, you have Ezekiel Elliott. David Johnson's right in that mix, in my opinion.
Yeah, for PPR, I think he's a definite, including wide receivers, a top five guy. And if you're at that pick number six, if he falls to you, you have to be ecstatic because he should be a top five guy. So I think he is one of the top running backs in the draft this year. Even coming back from injury, I think he's still up there. Moving on to wide receiver, we have Larry Fitzgerald, J.J. Nelson, Bryce Butler, and Christian Kirk.
Just one name you should be targeting in redrafts, that's Fitz. Been one of the most consistent receivers, really hasn't seemed to be aging. And you saw the quarterbacks that were throwing him the football last year. It was ugly, but he was still putting up wide receiver one type numbers. He will slide on in draft day just because he's older.
Where did he finish last year, PPR wide receiver?
He was top 12, I believe.
Yeah. Number 4 overall.
Which is amazing. Yeah. He's not going to be drafted like that.
No, he won't.
Most people don't have him in their top 12. I don't personally, even though he probably should be. But he's one of the safer options out there. Hopefully Kirk doesn't eat too many of his slot wide receiver snaps and take a lot of those plays away from him. But Fitz is pretty safe, pretty reliable.
Larry Fitzgerald was diagnosed with Benjamin Button's disease. He is getting younger and better the older that he gets. And as long as Sam Bradford can stay healthy, he's a super, super valuable asset. You mentioned the completion percentage record that he set 2 years ago for the Minnesota Vikings. I love those two paired together. You're going to see a lot of catches for Larry Fitzgerald early on in the season.
All right, guys, moving on to the tight ends. This is a very, very interesting topic here because Jermaine Gresham, of course, last year tore his Achilles, tore something, right?
Yep.
And then Ricky Seals-Jones, he came out in week 11, had 3 catches, 54 yards, 2 touchdowns. Week 12, 4 for 72 and a touchdown. The week after, 2 for 44. And then I believe he got injured week 15, got hurt after that. Reports are coming out that Ricky Seals-Jones is going to be operating on the offseason as the number one tight end for the Arizona Cardinals. They didn't bring in any tight end in the offseason besides some under-the-radar guys, which is not really anything for the starting job. Is Ricky Seals-Jones a legit option for tight end?
Heck yeah, he is. Well, now it's going to be 7 since Hunter Henry has tore his ACL.
Breaking news.
There's a big 7 for me, and then there's 8 to 9 guys who have potential to be a number one tight end, and I think Ricky Seals-Jones has that ability. We saw last year he can be a big play threat. He's a good red zone weapon. He's got good size, speed. Kind of came out of nowhere last year. I know people were picking him up, and I lost a game last year because of him. I was quite pissed off. But
was it his 2 or 3 touchdown game?
Yeah.
He had 2 or 3. Did he have 3?
No. Just 2. Just 2. I said it.
RSJ, though, he's going to be start-worthy. Probably get him after the top 12 guys go. If you're one of those people that like to wait on tight ends, get him and Jack Doyle or him and an Eric Ebron, and you could spot start him and just pray that he could do something similar to last season.
Yeah, I see pairing him with, like, a Cameron Brait.
Yeah.
Cameron Brait and Ricky Seals-Jones, and see what happens.
All right. Where do we see the Arizona Cardinals finish this year overall? It's tough.
I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think they should be one of the front runners to be picking in the top 5 of the NFL draft next season.
Then take Mr. Bosa?
Possibly. I think there's a good chance he goes number 1 overall, though. He's a stud. Not a big fan of the quarterback class either next year. This team, they're rebuilding. And it's all, this whole team, just like a lot of other teams, it's gonna be how the quarterback play is. If Sam Bradford's out there and healthy, this team could surprise a lot of people. But if Mike Lennon has to start and they put Josh Rosen on the bench, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly quick. And I'm not too high on this team overall right now.
I have said it. The Cardinals play the Redskins. They lose. They play the Rams. Bradford gets beat up in that game. And then Leonard Floyd comes around the corner, breaks Sam Bradford's leg. And that's when we see Josh Rosen in the second quarter of week 3 in Arizona. He starts at home against the Seahawks the following week. And it's the chosen Josh Rosen show from that point forward. It's not going to be too pretty, though. I like the NFC West this year. I don't like the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West. I see them winning 3 to 5 games at max. And, to your guys' point, they're going to be a top 5 pick in the 2019 NFL draft.
Yeah, I have them winning 3 games overall.
It's not pretty.
No, it's rough. It's a rough go at it.
They're headed in the right direction.
They got a tough-ass schedule, too.
Yep.
So
I like the moves that they're that they're making, though. I like the fact, contrary to Josh, I like the fact that they didn't overspend. They didn't just throw money at things in free agency just to do it.
I want
to
ask you guys this. So if they do decide, well, we all think they're going to have a bad year, right? So if they go with Josh Rosen later down the season, and Josh Rosen is just tearing it up, right, with Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, even though they're still losing games,
yeah,
does Larry Fitzgerald come back for another year?
It's too early to tell. No, I don't think so. There's a lot of, I believe there's like two or three all-time wide receiver records that Larry Fitzgerald could break and then get into like the top three this year in terms of receptions, yardage, and touchdowns. I think that this is his swan song. And then he'll probably come back and like be a coach immediately. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best guys in football. But no, I do truly believe that this is his last year. This is the Larry Fitzgerald swan song. So draft him while you can.
What do you think?
He'll play for the Patriots next year. It'll be something dumb.
Oh,
I think he's got it. I think he'll be fine this year. And if it's really brutal, a real bad year where they win 3 to 4 games, it might be difficult for him to find motivation to play with Arizona. And it might be difficult for him to leave Arizona. He's been there his whole career. We've seen other receivers try to leave their home and go play for another franchise. It just doesn't work out. I could see something similar to that happening as well.
He turns 35 prior to the season starting this year.
It's pretty old.
I want to ask you guys, how many seasons has Larry Fitzgerald played? Do you guys know?
Let's see. 15?
He's played 14. This will be year 15. Okay. So 14 total so far. It's a pretty decent number.
It is, but I mean, on top of that, he has had his three best seasons the last three seasons. His three top ones, so who knows?
How many seasons did he not play all 16 games in the regular season?
Two.
I'll say one.
One, two, three. In 2006, yes, 2006, 13 games. 2007, 15 games. And 2014, 14 games. Every other season, 16 games. How many times was he the leading receptions leader?
Three.
I'll say two.
Twice. 2016 with 107, 2005 with 103, and actually 2017 was his most, but second most. Well, tied for his most at 109, but the second most receptions. How many times was the leading touchdown reception leader? How many seasons?
Two.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I'll say two.
Two. 2008 and 2009. 12 and 08, 13 and 09.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, he has, you're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 1,000 plus yard seasons. You're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 100 reception plus yard seasons. Add on there an additional 3, 90 plus. I mean, dude, just a stud.
And then there's one other stat real quick. In 2015, he had a catch percentage of 75.2%. 145 balls thrown his way, and he caught 109 of them. That's pretty impressive.
It's impressive.
110 touchdowns in his prestigious career, 21 of them over the last three seasons.
He's really only had one good quarterback throwing him the football as well, Kurt Warner, and that was on a limited basis. Palmer was all right, I guess, but
very true. Anything else, guys?
That's all I got.
Tim?
That's it, man.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed our breakdown of the Arizona Cardinals. And if you guys want, follow us on Twitter at PonyKegSports, at Pony_Keg_Tom, and at FightTalkTim. You guys can always email us, PonyKegSports@gmail.com. And until next time.
Bye-bye.